Welcome to Immunology Insights. I'm Dr. Victor Roberts, your moderator for today's episode, where we'll dive deep into the fascinating world of inflammation. Inflammation is not just a symptom. It's the immune system's emergency response mode, a critical process that protects us from harm. Today, we'll explore how this response manifests in our bodies and the underlying mechanisms that drive it.
Absolutely, Victor. Inflammation is often seen as a villain, but it plays a vital role in healing. We'll discuss the five cardinal signs of inflammation: rubor, calor, tumor, dolor, and functio lysa, and how these signs are not just symptoms, but indicators of a complex biological response.
And let's not forget the molecular signaling events that underpin these visible changes. It's like watching a well-orchestrated symphony where every musician has a role to play. By the end of this episode, we hope to connect these physiological signs to the intricate molecular dance happening behind the scenes.
Right. We'll also touch on how inflammation can become chronic and the implications this has for our health. So whether you're a student, a healthcare professional, or just curious about how your body responds to injury and infection, stay tuned as we unpack the science of inflammation. Let's follow the cascade.
In this segment, let's dive into the key components of the immune system. Understanding these players is crucial for grasping how our body responds to threats. First up, we have the innate immune system, which acts as our first line of defense. It includes physical barriers like the skin and mucous membranes, as well as cells like macrophages and neutrophils that respond quickly to invaders.
Exactly, Caitlin. The innate immune system is like the body's immediate response team. It doesn't require prior exposure to a pathogen to act. These cells recognize common patterns found on pathogens, known as pathogen-associated molecular patterns, or PAMPs. This recognition triggers a rapid inflammatory response.
And don't forget about the adaptive immune system. It's more specialized and takes a bit longer to kick in. This system includes T cells and B cells. T cells help directly kill infected cells or assist other immune cells, while B cells produce antibodies that specifically target pathogens. It's like having a tailored suit versus a one-size-fits-all approach.
Right. And the beauty of the adaptive immune response is its memory. Once the body has encountered a pathogen, it remembers it. This means that if the same pathogen tries to invade again, the immune system can respond much more quickly and effectively. It's like having a VIP list for bouncers at a club.
And let's not overlook the signaling molecules, such as cytokines and chemokines. These are crucial for communication between immune cells. They help coordinate the immune response by attracting cells to the site of infection and activating them. Think of them as the traffic signals in our immune system's highway.
Absolutely. And then we have the complement system, a group of proteins that work together to enhance the ability of antibodies and phagocytic cells to clear microbes and damaged cells. It's like an additional layer of support that amplifies the immune response.
So, to recap, we have the innate immune system with its immediate responders, the adaptive immune system with its targeted attacks and memory, and the signaling molecules and complement system that help coordinate everything. Each component plays a vital role in keeping us healthy and fighting off infections.
Now that we've established the key components of the immune system, let's delve into how these elements work together to activate the immune response. The process begins with the recognition of pathogens, which is crucial for mounting an effective defense. This recognition is primarily mediated by specialized receptors on immune cells, known as pattern recognition receptors, or PRRs.
Exactly. PRRs can detect pathogen-associated molecular patterns, or PAMPs, which are unique to microbes, as well as damage-associated molecular patterns, or DAMPs, that indicate tissue injury. When these receptors bind to their targets, they trigger a cascade of signaling events within the cell. It's like flipping a switch that lights up a whole network.
Let's follow that cascade. Once PRRs are activated, they initiate signaling pathways that lead to the production of cytokines and chemokines. These molecules play a pivotal role in recruiting other immune cells to the site of infection and orchestrating the overall immune response. For instance, cytokines can enhance the activity of macrophages and promote the differentiation of T cells.
And this is where the concept of danger comes into play. The immune system is constantly assessing the environment for signs of danger, whether from pathogens or damaged cells. When a threat is detected, the immune system ramps up its response, activating various pathways that lead to inflammation and cell recruitment.
Speaking of inflammation, let's talk about the role of the inflammasome, a multi-protein complex that plays a critical role in the immune response. When activated, inflammasomes can lead to the production of pro-inflammatory cytokines like IL-1V and IL-18. This is a key step in amplifying the immune response and ensuring that it is robust enough to tackle the invading pathogens.
Absolutely. The activation of the inflammasome is a fascinating example of how the immune system integrates signals from both pathogens and damaged tissues. It's a perfect illustration of the balance our bodies must maintain, responding effectively to threats while avoiding excessive damage to our own tissues.
In summary, the activation of the immune system is a highly coordinated process involving recognition of danger signals, receptor engagement, and a cascade of signaling events that lead to a robust immune response. This intricate dance is essential for protecting our bodies from infections and maintaining overall health.
As we move into the coordination and regulation of the immune response, it's essential to understand how immune cells communicate with each other. This communication is vital for orchestrating a balanced and effective response. Immune cells use a variety of signaling molecules, including cytokines and chemokines, to relay information about the presence of pathogens and the status of the immune response.
Exactly, Victor. Cytokines are like the immune system's text messages. They can tell other immune cells to activate, proliferate, or even migrate to sites of infection. For example, interleukins can promote the growth and differentiation of T and B cells, while tumor necrosis factor, TNF, can induce inflammation and apoptosis in infected cells.
And let's not forget about feedback mechanisms. The immune system has built-in checks and balances to prevent overactivation, which can lead to tissue damage or autoimmune diseases. Regulatory T cells, or TREGs, play a crucial role here by suppressing excessive immune responses and maintaining tolerance to self-antigens. It's like having a safety officer on the immune team.
That's a great analogy, Caitlin. Additionally, there are negative feedback loops that help to downregulate the immune response once a threat has been eliminated. For instance, anti-inflammatory cytokines like IL-10 can inhibit the production of pro-inflammatory cytokines, effectively turning down the immune response.
This coordination is critical not just for fighting infections, but also for ensuring that the immune system doesn't turn against the body itself. Dysregulation of these processes can lead to conditions like allergies, autoimmune diseases, and chronic inflammation.
Absolutely. It's a delicate balance. The immune system must be robust enough to defend against pathogens while being restrained enough to avoid collateral damage to healthy tissues. This dynamic interplay is what keeps our immune system functioning optimally.
In summary, the coordination and regulation of the immune response involve complex signaling pathways and feedback mechanisms that ensure a balanced and effective defense against pathogens while preventing harmful overreactions. Let's keep this in mind as we explore the patterns of immune dysfunction in the next segment.
In this segment, we're going to explore the patterns of immune dysfunction. The immune system is incredibly complex, and when it goes awry, it can lead to a variety of health issues. Let's start by discussing immunodeficiency, which occurs when the immune system is unable to respond effectively to pathogens. This can be due to genetic factors, such as in primary immunodeficiency disorders or acquired factors like HIV, AIDS.
That's a critical point, Caitlin. In immunodeficiency, even common infections can become life-threatening. It's fascinating how the immune system's components must work in harmony to keep us healthy. When one part is compromised, the entire system can be affected,
On the flip side, we have conditions characterized by overreactions of the immune system, such as allergies and asthma. In these cases, the immune system mistakenly identifies harmless substances as threats, leading to an exaggerated response. For example, pollen can trigger a cascade of symptoms in allergic individuals. It's like the immune system is on high alert for no reason.
Exactly. And then we have autoimmune diseases where the immune system turns against the body's own cells. Conditions like rheumatoid arthritis and lupus are prime examples. Here, the immune system fails to distinguish self from non-self, leading to inflammation and damage to healthy tissues. It's a classic case of friendly fire.
Right. And this misdirection can have serious consequences. Autoimmunity can affect various organs and systems, leading to chronic health issues. The balance between tolerance and activation is so delicate, and when it tips, the results can be devastating.
And let's not forget about the emerging field of immuno-oncology, where the immune system is harnessed to fight cancer. Sometimes, tumors can evade immune detection, leading to immune dysfunction in the context of cancer. Understanding these dysfunction patterns is crucial for developing effective therapies.
So, to summarize, immune dysfunction can manifest as immunodeficiency, overreaction, or autoimmunity, each with its own set of challenges and implications for health. Recognizing these patterns is essential for diagnosis and treatment. It's a complex puzzle that we're still working to solve.
In this segment, we're going to discuss the diagnostic tools used in immunology to assess immune function. Understanding how to evaluate the immune system is crucial for diagnosing various conditions and guiding treatment decisions. Let's start with some of the most common laboratory tests.
Absolutely. One of the primary tests we use is the complete blood count, or CBC, which provides information about the levels of different blood cells, including white blood cells. An elevated white blood cell count can indicate an active infection or inflammation, while a low count might suggest an immunodeficiency.
That's a great point, Caitlin. Another important marker we often look at is C-reactive protein, or CRP. This protein increases in response to inflammation and can help us gauge the severity of an inflammatory process. It's like a barometer for inflammation in the body.
And we also have the erythrocyte sedimentation rate, or ESR, which measures how quickly red blood cells settle at the bottom of a test tube. A higher rate can indicate inflammation or infection, providing a broader picture of the immune response.
Let's not forget about cytokine profiling. Measuring levels of specific cytokines can give us insights into the immune system's activity and help identify dysregulation. For instance, elevated levels of pro-inflammatory cytokines like IL-6 can be indicative of autoimmune diseases.
Exactly. Additionally, immunologic panels can assess specific antibodies in the blood. This is particularly useful in diagnosing autoimmune diseases, where the presence of autoantibodies can confirm a diagnosis. It's like looking for clues in a mystery.
And imaging techniques, such as ultrasound or MRI, can also be useful in assessing inflammation in specific organs or tissues. They help visualize the extent of the immune response and any associated damage.
So, to summarize, the diagnostic tools in immunology, including CBC, CRP, ESR, cytokine profiling, immunologic panels and imaging techniques provide a comprehensive approach to understanding immune function and guiding treatment. They are essential for unraveling the complexities of the immune system.
Now, let's discuss the therapeutic implications of our understanding of the immune system. There are several strategies we can employ to enhance, suppress, or modulate immune responses in various clinical settings. One of the most common approaches is the use of non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, or NSAIDs, which help reduce inflammation and pain by inhibiting cyclooxygenase enzymes.
Absolutely, Victor. NSAIDs are often the first line of treatment for inflammatory conditions. However, we also have corticosteroids, which are powerful anti-inflammatory agents that can suppress the immune response more broadly. They are particularly useful in managing autoimmune diseases and severe allergic reactions. But of course, we must be cautious about their side effects with long-term use.
And let's not forget about biologics. These are targeted therapies that can specifically inhibit certain pathways in the immune response. For example, anti-TNF agents are used in conditions like rheumatoid arthritis and inflammatory bowel disease. They work by blocking tumor necrosis factor, a key player in inflammation. It's like having a precision tool to tackle specific problems.
Exactly. There are also newer therapies that target interleukin pathways, such as IL-6 inhibitors, which have shown promise in treating conditions like COVID-19 and other inflammatory diseases. The specificity of these therapies can lead to better outcomes with fewer side effects compared to traditional systemic treatments.
In addition to these pharmacological interventions, immunotherapy is a rapidly evolving field, especially in oncology. By harnessing the body's immune system to recognize and attack cancer cells, treatments like checkpoint inhibitors have revolutionized cancer therapy. They essentially take the brakes off the immune system, allowing it to fight tumors more effectively.
And speaking of the future, there are exciting developments in gene therapy and personalized medicine. By tailoring treatments to an individual's genetic makeup and immune profile, we can enhance the effectiveness of therapies and minimize adverse effects. It's like customizing a suit to fit perfectly.
So, to summarize, the therapeutic innate implications of immunology are vast and varied, ranging from traditional medications like NSAIDs and corticosteroids to targeted biologics and cutting-edge immunotherapies. Understanding the immune system allows us to develop more effective treatments that can significantly improve patient outcomes. Let's keep an eye on these developments as they continue to evolve. As we wrap up this episode, let's summarize the key points we've covered regarding the immune system and its therapeutic implications. We began by exploring the fundamental components of the immune system, including the innate and adaptive responses, and how they work together to protect our bodies.
That's right, Victor. We also discussed the mechanisms of immune activation, emphasizing how the immune system recognizes pathogens and initiates a response. This understanding is crucial for developing targeted therapies.
And we highlighted the importance of coordination and regulation within the immune system to maintain balance and prevent dysfunction. When this balance is disrupted, we see various patterns of immune dysfunction, including immunodeficiency and autoimmune diseases.
We then delved into the diagnostic tools available to assess immune function, such as cytokine profiling and immunologic panels, which are essential for diagnosing and managing immune-related conditions.
Finally, we explored therapeutic implications, discussing the range of treatment options from NSAIDs and corticosteroids to biologics and immunotherapies. Each of these plays a vital role in modulating the immune response to improve patient outcomes.
So, as we conclude, it's clear that understanding the immune system is not just academic. It has real-world implications for health and disease management. The landscape of immunology is constantly evolving, and staying informed is crucial for both healthcare professionals and patients alike.
Thank you for joining us on this journey through the immune system. We hope you found this episode insightful and informative. Be sure to tune in for our next episode, where we will continue to explore the fascinating world of immunology and its impact on health and disease.
And remember, whether it's the immune system's siren signaling danger or its quiet vigilance, there's always more to learn about how our bodies defend themselves.
Until next time, keep exploring, and remember, there's always a microbe behind the curtain.